Hey, this is Brother Jonathan Shelley from Faith Ford Baptist Church, and I just want to make a video addressing some of the things about the Tyler Baker incident, especially since he made this most recent video attacking Pastor Anderson, calling him a liar, trying to say that this all the stuff Pastor Anderson said about his poor work ethic wasn't true, and it doesn't make any sense to anybody. Well, honestly, to me, it made a lot of sense, and it put a lot of things together when I saw his video, and then I saw Pastor Anderson's video with all the timesheets. Some new things even clicked in my mind. But I just wanted to give a little bit of my experiences with working with Tyler and some of the things he said in his video, just to reaffirm everything that Pastor said, and really even reaffirm a lot of the feelings that Pastor had, and kind of sharing in the same idea of somehow having a lot of misgivings towards Tyler, but still actually supporting him. I mean, to be honest with you, if you'd asked if I thought he was a false prophet, if I thought he was, you know, wicked, or if I thought, you know, he was going to fail, I didn't think any of those things. I literally bought a plane ticket to go to Jacksonville on the day that he opened his church. It was starting on my birthday, and I thought, hey, I'll buy a plane ticket, I'll take the time off work, I'll go help this guy, you know, I'll get to see starting a church, you know, for hopefully, God willing, when I get to go start a church. And really, there was nothing I would have said publicly for sure to anybody negative about Tyler. I thought that, you know, any imperfections he had, none of us are perfect, right? But in hindsight and after the fact and really kind of thinking about some of the things that had happened, it really came to light. There was a lot of red flags, and there was a lot of work performance issues I had that were really just not confirmed. I just gave him kind of the benefit of the doubt. And really the only person I even lamented to was my wife, because I thought it was, it's not appropriate for me to go around and kind of talk badly about the deacon or give circumstantial evidence or any of these type of things. But after the fact, I mean, it's super clear that this guy just doesn't work hard. He's super lazy. He's very deceitful about how he behaves himself. He's a constant liar, because the truth is, the first time I ever met Tyler, he actually helped me move into my house, which was a blessing. But the first time I meet him, you know, just after 5-10 minutes of meeting this guy, and we're talking about him being the deacon, he just can't stop talking about, oh, how he's working so hard. Oh, I just work super hard. I have all these hours. You know, pastor could hire multiple people, you know, to start working for the church. There's just so much work to do. I'm just working super hard. And I thought, man, well, I guess I'm glad he's able to help move me in. And he told me, well, I'm getting paid. And I was like, oh, okay. But you know, every single time I was around Tyler Baker, every single time, he always said, oh man, I'm just working so hard. I'm just working so many hours. I have so much work to do. There's just so much work to do. I'm just working all this time. And I honestly believed him. I thought maybe Tyler was just, you know, one of the hardest working people I'd ever met, you know, especially by what he said. Now, I never saw him working hard. I never felt like he was working hard, but I just believed that because he said it. And I thought maybe he's just, you know, immature. He doesn't have a lot of character, so he just kind of says these things, but it sounds like maybe he works really hard. And I believed him. But honestly, from what I saw and in the dealings that I had with him, it never felt like he was a hard worker. It felt like he was very lazy and very slothful, especially when it came to the FWBC North location when we started that new church plant. You know, he likes to say, oh, I was the leader and I was in charge and I picked everybody that was going to go, you know, preach the sermons there, and I'm just doing all this extra work. Well, it's true that he was over that church for the most part. He's making decisions. It was true that he uploaded Rick's sermons. It was true that he built the website. But honestly, he really didn't do very much work for it from my perspective. And it seemed like he was always slacking. You know, I had to constantly remind him, hey, we're missing, you know, we need more invitations. We need more water. You know, this... There's just issues of the church. I'll say, hey, it's not getting cleaned up. We were getting complaints from the landlord about people not locking the doors and locking the gates. And he even lamented to me. He said at one point early on, he said, hey, you know, I don't feel like I'm doing a good job uploading the sermons. And I think as a team, we need to make sure we're uploading the sermons better. And I had always uploaded all my sermons, and I'd upload them like 1 or 2 days after. And he's like, well, make sure it's only one day. You know, just make sure as soon as you can, just get the sermon uploaded. We need to be really diligent. And I said, okay. But he was like, he admitted to me that he had not been doing a good job. He wasn't working hard on it. And he's like, but I'm going to work harder at it. I'm going to do better. And I thought, okay, you know, I have misgivings about the guy, but he recognizes, you know, he has some issues. He wants to work on it. It sounded like maybe he was trying to say he's working really hard on other stuff, and working for Pastor right now is really difficult, and he's got, you know, all this stuff he's going to be doing. So I just said, whatever. But, you know, as time went on, it just seemed like everything was, you know, being neglected at the FWC North. He, you know, the bulletins were basically the exact same announcements every single time. And then maybe once a month he would update the bulletin to have some kind of event. And he never asked us about the events. He never got any feedback. He just basically said, this is what we're doing. You're going to provide a meal on this day at this time. And one of the times it really bothered me because he just sends the update to all the guys and just says, hey, you know, we're going to have a luncheon on Mother's Day. And so, you know, he just sends a picture. And he's like, oh, and FYI, I'm not going to be there. So he just expects, you know, I guess my wife and Rick's wife and all the wives at this location to just prepare a meal on Mother's Day where there's pretty much going to be only them showing up. I mean, it was a brand new church. We had almost nobody coming to our church at that point. And he's like, hey, I'm not going to be there. I mean, what kind of person decides to just put all this work and all this effort on other people just because he wants to fill out the bulletin a certain way or whatever? I don't know. But it just shows that the guy has pretty much no character, because every single time Pastor Anderson's ever asked me to do any work or to do any kind of job for him, he got feedback from me. He said, hey, I have this opportunity, I have this job, I have this thing you could work on. Would you be willing to do it? Does it work with your schedule? I mean, none of that. It's just basically like, hey, on Mother's Day, you know, all of the women need to go and prepare a meal. And I basically just told him, I said, hey, I already have plans. That's not going to work. So we ended up doing it at a different time. But I just couldn't even believe that he would schedule something like that and put it in the bulletin when he's not even going to show up. But then in one of his videos, in Pastor Anderson's video about the timesheets, you can see while he's flipping through that Tyler just never filled them out. He never put anything on there. And he finally gets to a page where there's something on there. And it's like May 4th, 2017. And it says, help Brother Shelley with FWC North supplies. It's one of the things that he has on there. Well, he didn't even do anything. He basically texted me and said, hey, the supplies that you're needing, can you go take them up to the church for me? So after work, I left work early to come to the church, and I walked in the building, and I get the invitations that are on a shelf, and I get the water bottles that are sitting there, put them in my truck, and leave in like 1 minute. So I guess the, you know, 10 seconds it took him to take the water bottles from the kitchen to his office or something was just like so noteworthy, he had to put it on his time card. I mean, that's the one time he fills out his time card is he literally takes some water bottles and moves them to his office. I mean, what? That just goes to show the guy honestly wasn't working hard at all. If that's the only thing that can come to your mind, if the only work that you did during the day that can come to your mind is, oh yeah, I remember I moved some water bottles from the kitchen to my office. I guess that's, you know, write that one down. That was really hard work. I mean, the guy's an obvious liar. He was clearly not doing anything. And it was even true when I would come and show up to his office for other reasons, or just I was showing up because I had a soul winning time on Tuesdays, so I'm constantly coming there and seeing that he's there. I mean, admittedly, I think he was always like at the church or whenever he put his hours in, but I don't think he was doing any work, because one time I showed up, he's just like eating yogurt, just sitting there. You know, his kids are just running around, just like throwing kitchen supplies everywhere. Then I come in another day, he's just like reading his Bible, just not really doing anything. I come another day, he's just watching a YouTube video. He's watching World Without Cancer. And I said, what are you watching? He's like, oh, I'm just watching this video. I want to upload it to my Valiant Baptist Church site, but I didn't want to upload it until I'd watched it all. And look, I don't know how Pastor Anderson managed Tyler Baker. I didn't know if he was hourly at the time. I didn't know if he was salary. I thought it was inappropriate for me to ask those type of questions. But I thought, man, if he's on the clock, this is really kind of weird. Like, he's never doing any work at this location. He's just watching videos, or he's just reading his Bible, quote unquote, or, you know, I don't know what he's doing. Watching Pentecostal videos, apparently, or something. But I thought, if he's not doing any work there, and that's always his excuse for just being completely lazy at FWC North and never doing any work, then when is he actually doing anything? When is he doing any work? But again, this was stretched over a period of long, like, you know, a year and a half or so. It's not like this was just every day or something. This was, you know, weeks and months would go by, and it just, but it seemed like every interaction I had with this guy, he's just constantly saying, oh man, I'm working so hard, I'm just doing all this work, and, you know, it wasn't ever that I was, like, catching him and doing all of this work. He was just telling me about how he was doing all this work. Well, it really just bothered me, a lot of the things that he said, and it just started adding up and kind of getting worse and worse. And again, I would have never said anything publicly that was bad about him, but when it came to the FWBC North Church, I was really frustrated. Because one time, we're just sitting there kind of talking, and he just says, you know what, I don't even really care about the FWBC North Church. You know, I'm going to be going to Jacksonville, I'm going to be starting my church, you know, it's not that big a deal to me. I would ask him and Rick, I would say, hey, what are you going to preach this Sunday? He's like, I don't know. Usually he would never decide until like Saturday, and he would do it like Saturday afternoon, and I asked him, hey, how long does it take you to write your sermons? Just because I was trying to pick his brain, get an idea. He's like, oh, like 45 minutes. So I guess just like on Saturday afternoon, he'd take like 45 minutes, write a sermon. He even admitted to me he didn't really even care about the church. And again, I thought, maybe the guy's just kind of lamenting about his faults. Maybe he's just saying, you know, I really struggle caring about the church. And, you know, he's just kind of like lamenting to me, which I still thought was weird. But again, I was just trying to give him every benefit of the doubt. I was trying to make a lot of excuses for him. I mean, he's the deacon of the church. I don't want people to think badly about him. I didn't want to think badly about him. So I just kind of brushed it off. But even just in daily, you know, dealings with him, just being at the church, just being around the guy, he was extremely prideful. I mean, when you're in around a group at the church, he's just dominating every conversation. He has to, you know, overtalk people and make known what his opinion is. And he always has, you know, an answer, and he always has the right, you know, doctrine. He always has the right view. And even when it came to just matters where I think that he should be able to say, hey, I don't know, he would just always try to give an answer. For example, there was a passage in Romans chapter 5 that when I was trying to memorize, I was struggling because the wording was just unique to me. I didn't quite understand what the phrase meant. It says, like, but not as the offense, so also as the free gift. And so I asked Pastor, I just said, hey, Pastor Anderson, what do you think this passage is really saying, you know, in that portion right there? And he was like, I'm not quite sure. I don't really know. And I was kind of like, okay. So then I asked Tyler, I said, hey, you know, this passage, I kind of asked Pastor about it, and I still am not quite sure. What do you think about this passage? And he's like, oh, I know. Let me tell you. You pastor couldn't tell that for you? So he flips it open, and it was immediately obvious he didn't even know what I was talking about, or didn't know the answer. He just was opening his Bible, and so he starts reading it and trying to figure out what it's saying, and then he just kind of rambles on. He's like, oh, it's just kind of saying, like, the gift is not, you know, the offense, and he's just kind of, like, rewording it, but not saying anything. He didn't know what it meant. But it just goes to show the fact that the guy could not just say, I don't know, or I would have to study that myself, or, you know, maybe I don't really know. It goes to show the type of character of a person who just can't ever say, I don't know something, or I'm not sure, or I'll have to figure it out. He just always had to have the answer. He just always had to know, because I guess he didn't want to have any weakness or something. But the guy was just probably one of the most prideful people that I've ever been around. And again, I gave a lot of excuses to it. I thought, well, he's young. He knows the Bible really well. He's read the Bible a lot of times. He's been put in this position of leadership. He's preached behind the pulpit several times. So it's just easy for him to kind of, you know, talk in a way that seems a little arrogant. He's probably not. He's probably just not very self-conscious of how he speaks to people and some of the things that he said. But, you know, it really just irked me the wrong way. And even when it came to soul winning, it really bothered me, because he seemed lazy even in his soul winning. I would go to his Monday night soul winning at the beginning of the year, and we'd show up, and we'd always leave like 10, 15 minutes late from the time that we were supposed to leave, and we were driving like really far away, And then we would show up, and it was clear he didn't have maps. He didn't know where we were at, so he's just kind of slowly doling people to go somewhere and walk. And, you know, we're, like, dragging our feet, and it would take another 10, 15 minutes. I mean, we'd only go soul winning for, like, 40 minutes or something. It was kind of frustrating that I would be gone from my house for, like, 3 hours and go soul winning for, like, 40 minutes. But, you know, we're going this super far place and spending, like, 40 minutes over there, and he was always the last person to go out because he's kind of organizing, and he never went with anybody else. He was always just going with Michaela, his daughter, and it just really bothered me. It just felt like he didn't really care. He felt really lackadaisical about it. It wasn't a big deal. You know, we're just going out. And then it really manifested itself with the soul winning marathon. We had a soul winning marathon at FWC North, and honestly, it was because nothing was happening in FWC North. Nobody was really coming, except for people that were already at our church. And, you know, my Thursday night service was doing pretty well, but I knew Tyler and Rick's service were not doing well. So I said, hey, Tyler, why don't we have a soul winning marathon? Why don't we, you know, go out and reach the area and try to bring some people in? And he was kind of like, yeah, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're having a soul winning marathon. And so we show up in the soul winning marathon day, and Tyler... He asked me to be a team leader, and I said, okay. So I asked him, I said, hey, are you on a team? Are you leading a team too? And he said, no, you know, I'm just going to run things. And I said, oh, okay. You're just going to kind of join a team once you get everybody settled. And he was like, no, I got to go get some more water bottles or something. I said, oh, okay. Well, when you're done, do you want to join up with a team or something? And he was like, no, I'm just going to just run things. And it just really bothered me. I thought, run things? What are you running? I mean, why wouldn't you just have all the water bottles the day before for a soul winning marathon? I mean, it was a planned way in advance. We know approximately how many people are going to show up. And frankly, I've ran a soul winning marathon at the North Church. I've ran other times. And the leader does have extra responsibilities. There's things that they might have to do. But for 6 hours, you can't even go soul winning? I don't even know in the afternoon if he ended up going soul winning at all. I almost think that he didn't. I think that he just didn't go soul winning that day, which just blows my mind, because he says, oh, I'm the leader of this FWBC North Church, and he never has a soul winning time for the FWBC North Church. It was only Rick and it was only me that had soul winning times. We have a soul winning marathon, and he basically doesn't even go. I thought, well, I mean, you're a full-time employee at this church, and pastor claimed to, you know, give you this church, and you're not even gonna, like, go soul winning ever for it? Like, that didn't make any sense. It made sense with his comment where he said, I don't really care about it. That kind of fits with it. But again, these are just kind of circumstantial things. I wasn't really sure how to react to him. I thought, maybe I'm just envious of this guy, or maybe I just, you know, I have some character flaws in my issues, or I have problems too. I should just look the other way. I mean, I didn't really even know how to deal with those things. But there was another thing that kind of just made it where I wasn't going to really approach Pastor about it. I had at one point been getting an opportunity to preach at the Tempe location, and I preached a sermon where I said some things that I don't really agree with that weren't really edifying, and so Pastor didn't even like the sermon in hindsight. And right after the sermon, when I went to go sit down, I happened to sit right by Tyler Baker, and he just, you know, unprovoked after the sermon, just comes up to me and says, good preaching. And that was kind of like the only thing he said. And I didn't really have the prudence or understanding to know at that time that some of the things I said were not good. So after finding out Pastor Anderson, you know, did not like the sermon and there were some issues, I had called Tyler and I said, hey, you know, can you please give me your thoughts on the sermon? You said that it was a good sermon. And so I just was curious, you know, if you thought there were some issues or some things I could work on. And he goes, well, I said good preaching, but I didn't say good sermon. And then he just lays into me for like 10 minutes, just like rebuking me sharply about how all the, like I said, all these things that were wrong. I did all these things that were, you know, bad. And for the most part, I agreed with a lot of things that he said. But then it just turned weird. He just started kind of attacking me, not really the things that I said. He said, well, I don't even like your preaching. I think that your voice sounds really weird when you preach. It doesn't even sound genuine. It just sounds like fake or something. And I didn't even know how to respond to that type of a comment. And he said, you know, if it was me, I probably wouldn't even let you preach ever. You know, I wouldn't let you preach again for a long time, maybe not even ever. And I was just kind of like, whoa. And he's like, you might even expect that Pastor Anderson is probably going to preach a sermon rebuking you and all these things. And so, I mean, after that, I thought I was on thin ice. I thought, because he had said that he had talked with Pastor about it, and I was just kind of like, oh man, like, I didn't realize, and I thought I was, you know, on thin ice. So I was just trying to focus on myself. I was like, I need to work on, you know, my preaching. I need to read my Bible more. I need to make sure that what I am saying is right. I don't want people to perceive me as, you know, a lot of the things that he said. I need to be genuine. Like, I don't know. But in hindsight, like, the fact that the way he spoke to me and some of the things that he was saying, it just seems like a complete character flaw on his part. Like, not a good leader. He didn't, you know, rebuke me in a way that was even possible for me to change in my perspective. Like, just to say, I don't like your preaching and I don't like your voice, how is someone supposed to even work on that? That was just, it was really bizarre. And so, you know, I kind of was afraid to ever approach Pastor Anderson about anything at that point. I thought, you know, I'm really on thin ice. And so, you know, even though I might have some misgivings about Tyler, I'm not going to just go up to him and be like, hey, I've kind of been noticing, you know, he's not working hard and things are kind of slack at FWC North. I was worried that Pastor would then be like, well, why aren't you working harder? Why aren't you serving more? Why aren't you? And so I was like, I'm never going to approach, you know, it doesn't seem like a big enough grievance. It doesn't seem like that. I think he's a good guy. You know, I can look past transgressions and I can always work harder. I can always serve more. I can do more to bring people in. And so I think just my own insecurities and my own misgivings, you know, caused me to just kind of cause me to make it even more excuses for a lot of Tyler's behavior. But that's just my, you know, character flaw. That's kind of my issue. You know, one other thing, frankly, you know, I felt bad even kind of lamenting about some of these things to my wife sometimes because she really couldn't stand Tyler. She didn't like him at all. And it was from this weird incident where when we were at the North Church one time, one of my toddlers was just kind of like running around and he's going into a closet where Tyler was there, and Tyler just like scares him and just like really startles him, and our kid gets like super upset and he's crying, and it was kind of like a big deal to my wife. And in hindsight, I kind of didn't really understand. I was like, why would you like just scare some person's toddler? And you know, at the time we weren't like closest friends or anything. We didn't know each other that well, but it just seemed really weird. And you know, I mean, I didn't think anything negative about him wholesale. I thought he had a good family. I thought he had good, you know, his wife was really nice. She was a great servant. She had a good friendship with my wife. But honestly, the guy just, he seemed to be really self-involved. And even when it came to his own children, there was plenty of times where his wife is sitting there holding like two kids and been holding him for like 3 hours, you know, because we've been doing all these things. And she just hands like one of them to him for like 5 minutes, and he can't even hold a kid for like 5 minutes. He's just handing him right back. And it just seemed like he just didn't really care. And again, this might seem circumstantial, it might seem, you know, irrelevant, but to me, it just goes to show, like, I mean, Pastor Anderson held his kid for a whole sermon. Like, you see other men, how they respond to their family and how they treat their family. That's why it's in the qualifications of a bishop, you know, having faithful children and ruling their house as well. And, you know, I just, almost in every category, I could probably have felt like, man, there's just some things that aren't quite right. And you say, yeah, but he was a really good preacher. You know, I had a lot of problems with some of his preaching. And, you know, he kept preaching about working hard and, you know, being this really diligent worker. And, you know, from my perspective, I saw a lot of things lacking. So I just thought, you know, maybe it's just on this guy's heart. He's kind of got a burden, so he wants to preach a sermon. Maybe it'll get him fired up to work a little bit harder. But in hindsight, it's just so hypocritical for him to be preaching those type of sermons. But then he preaches one sermon, Greek philosophy in light of the Bible. I wish this sermon would just go away and just get erased from YouTube. This thing is, I hated that sermon. It was awful. He preaches for like 15, 20 minutes about how, you know, there's all these people that are going to spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Sounds like Tyler Baker. But then he gets into this book that he claimed to have read called The Symposium. He says he read the entire book. He said it was the weirdest book he ever read. He said that it was the most filthy thing. He said it was, he vexed his soul. And then he just goes on to proceed to give quotes from it. And he like bases a large portion of his scripture on this book, which this book is about these drunk pedophiles, these, you know, Socrates and these guys just fantasizing about, you know, perversion and wickedness and sodomy and even pedophilia. And I mean, I don't even want to mention the things that he mentions because it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But apparently Tyler didn't read that verse in the Bible. So he continues to proceed to explain this just filth that comes in this book. And the book's literally about these pedophiles that are in this secret club where they're just speaking all these perverse things. And then he proceeds to just read portions of that book to us in the audience. I mean, my wife wanted to just walk out of the sermon. And she's never wanted like just walk out of sermons. It was just, I couldn't even believe it. And I was really surprised that Pastor didn't, you know, say something about that video or whatever. But then in hindsight, when after he was fired, I asked Pastor about that video specifically, because I said, hey, did you watch that sermon? Like, what were your thoughts on that? And he said, oh, I never watched it. And so it was obvious, you know, from my perspective, that Pastor Anderson had just given Tyler a whole bunch of, you know, freedom, a whole bunch of liberty, a lot of authority, and he just trusted the guy. He just thought he was doing right. He thought he was doing good. And so, you know, all these little things, you know, he's just not really noticing until hindsight or after the fact. It's not that that Pastor Anderson's lying about him being a poor worker or things. Obviously, he showed all the evidence in his video that Tyler is just complete, you know, out to lunch. He was a slack worker. He didn't work hard. Every time Pastor Anderson told me before even that video, it was the exact same story about Tyler being slack, about Tyler being lazy, about how the fact that he'd lamented to Roger Jimenez, about all of the things that he said. He always has the exact same story because it's the truth. But Tyler, you know, he has to come out with a video 8 months after he's been fired to complain about how what Pastor Anderson said wasn't true. Well, it just goes to show how lazy and slow he is to just make this video 8 months later. I mean, if it really bothered him, why wouldn't he have just responded about that in the first place? I mean, he didn't respond to it. So now, you know, after all this other stuff comes about him, about how he stole money and about how he, you know, believes this weird wicked doctrine and is just continuing in it. I mean, just not only did he believe it, not only did he teach it in secret, he's still proclaiming it. He's trying to turn this world upside down with this rank heresy, with this wicked doctrine. And I hope that nobody goes to his church. You say, why are you making this video? Because I don't want anybody at our church to feel sorry for this guy, to support this guy, to think, oh man, maybe it was kind of a raw deal and he was blindsided. This guy is a deceiver. This guy is a liar. I mean, every single time I was around him, he couldn't stop talking about how he's a hard worker. And he's just been proven to be false on that, proven to be a liar on that. But not only that, I mean, the guy, in my opinion, was just, in hindsight, again, just very prideful, very arrogant, very puffed up, doesn't understand very much of the Bible, apparently, because the Trinity is a basic doctrine. The Trinity is clearly what someone has to believe to be saved. I mean, the Bible says that you have to believe the record that God gave of his Son. But Tyler doesn't believe the record that God gave his Son. He believes that the Father came to be the Son, to pretend to be this Son. I mean, his God is this pretending God that just pretends to be a Father and pretends to be a Son and pretends to be a Holy Ghost. That's wicked. That's blasphemy. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And if you don't believe that, you're an antichrist. You're a deceiver. And that's what Tyler is apparently masquerading himself as to be, is this just, he's a complete false prophet. I mean, the guy obviously has no respect for the office of a bishop. I mean, to say that after you get fired, that just 7 months later, you can just go out and just become a pastor after you've been completely disgraced for being a liar, for stealing on the job, for being lazy, for teaching a damnable heresy. Oh, I guess I can be a pastor. And, you know, I had asked Tyler several times, just in private, I said, hey, you know, when you go start your church, what would be some things that might be different? Is there anything different? Are you exactly the same as Pastor Anderson? And, of course, he never brought this junk up. He would always say just minor stuff, just like, well, I might have, you know, the Sunday evening service be a little sooner, or, you know, little things here or there. Nothing major. But in the back of his mind, he knows he's going to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he believes this modalist junk. And, I mean, the guy is obviously a complete liar and just a complete deceiver. You know, they never approached me with this doctrine. They never spread a word to me, but they spread it to a whole bunch of other people. And every time you'd walk up on Tyler or Elliot or Ray, you know, Elliot Ray or Rick or even Russell, you know, they would like hush down their conversation. It was obvious to everybody. Even there was one time it was just so obvious, it got awkward. I came upon him and Russell talking about something in Revelation, and they're just like earnestly talking and like super excited. And I walk up and it's just like dead quiet. And Tyler's like, what do you want? I'm like, what? Honestly, you know, I thought they were like my best friends at the church. I had, you know, I thought, you know, they were some of my best buds. You know, I thought we were all in the same boat. I thought we believed the same things. But about 6 months before, you know, this whole thing happened, they kind of started to distance themselves from me. And I thought, I didn't know why, but you know, I wasn't really invited to hang out with them as much anymore, and they didn't really talk to me as much anymore, and, you know, except for if it was just me to do all the work for FWC North, but I guess, you know, whatever. And it's just obvious that the guys were secretive about their junk. And here's the thing. Let's say they were right. Let's say their stupid view of the Trinity or Godhead is right. Why in the world have they just been hiding for like 7 months? I mean, why wouldn't you just be constantly making videos, just showing scripture after scripture, like how this is true and how this is supported by the Bible and how, you know, all this is right? It's because they're in darkness and they want to hide in darkness and they want to go, you know, lick their wounds and feel bad for themselves and then go make some video about how, oh, Pastor Anderson said that I was lazy and slothful. I mean, he admitted that he was lazy and slothful to me several times. So to say that, you know, Pastor Anderson's this big liar, and to go around, you know, accusing Pastor Anderson of being a liar, of accusing our church of just being these, like, blind followers, yet his lackeys are just the biggest blind followers that I've ever seen. And, you know, let's again look at their stupid doctrine. They want to claim that they don't believe in oneness. Well, they do believe in oneness. Let's make that clear. But let's just go with their stupid folly and say they don't believe in oneness. They made it clear they don't believe in the Trinity. So if they don't believe in the Trinity and they don't believe in oneness, then what do they believe? Well, according to their story, some new doctrine, some new view of God that nobody else knows, that nobody else believes, that nobody else has ever thought of. I guess you got this lazy, slothful deacon and his, you know, four best friends. They just all happen to get this same revelation at the same time. God just saw it fit to see them to get this special revelation so that he could get fired from his job for spreading heresy and being a liar and stealing. And then he's going to go, and the only person that will ordain him on this planet is his dad, who, you know, I think his dad had only been pastoring for like 18 months or something. And then Tyler comes to his church for 6 months and gets ordained to be a pastor. I guess they just have no respect for the things of God. They have no respect for the office of a deacon. You know, and that was obvious when I asked him. I said, how long would you, Tyler, wait to send somebody out to be a pastor after you start Valiant Baptist Church? You know, I'm thinking like 5 years, 7 years, you know. He's like, oh, I don't know, like 6 months. Well, I guess Papa like son. Papa just after 6 months just sends his son out after being disgraced from being, you know, at his church. And we're supposed to believe that their new special doctrine is just the word of God. Well, the Bible says that there's no, you know, private interpretation. You know, if you believe something new, it's wrong. It's false. And nothing at Faithful Word Baptist Church believes, or none of their core doctrines are just these new doctrines that Pastor Anderson came up with. They're doctrines that have been believed by tons of other Baptists, tons of other people throughout history. you know, this is nothing like Pastor Anderson. This is nothing like Faithful Word Baptist Church. This is just the starting of a cult. It's like Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith, who gets this private interpretation. Nobody has the right truth. Only Tyler Baker and his four heretic buddies have the right truth. I mean, the writing's on the wall for this to go really bad. And I hope that nobody goes to this church. I hope that nobody goes and supports his church. Nobody should feel bad for him. You know, he's believing a damnable heresy. And anybody that's going to believe his junk is just basically admitting that they're not saved or never were saved. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I mean, the Bible just rings true. And it's just sad that there's these kind of wicked people that'll just come in and pretend to be your friend, pretend to believe like you, pretend to, you know, work hard and constantly say, oh, I'm just working so hard. But really, they're not doing anything. And, you know, after Tyler was, after Brother Segura and Brother Kirschway were brought on, it just became even that much more obvious how lazy Tyler was even to me. Because you could see how hard Brother Segura worked. You could see how hard Brother Kirschway was working. Every time you'd come, you'd see them working. They're always busy. They're always getting these things done. You know, you show up and he's doing nothing. Even Pastor Anderson was making some kind of announcement or something. He's saying, hey, we have this new Indian reservation trip going on. Go get the paper on the piano. He's like, hey, where's that paper? He's like, Tyler, do you have that paper? He's like, oh, I forgot. It's like Sunday morning. And then, you know, Pastor makes the same announcement on Wednesday. He's like, oh, go sign up on the thing. And he's like, hey, where's that paper, Tyler? And he's like, oh, I forgot. I mean, he can't even just get the one paper to be put on the piano for the inner reservation. I don't think very many people caught that, but I certainly remembered it because I was thinking, wow, if he's not getting anything done at FWBC North, I mean, he must be swamped at, you know, the regular church. But every time I showed up, he's just working on Valiant stuff. And then, you know, when Pastor asked him to do this task in front of the congregation and he doesn't even get it done in like 3 days' time, it was obvious to me that he wasn't working hard. But again, you know, I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I was trying to think, you know, maybe I'm just, I don't know everything. It's not really my place to judge, maybe. You know, publicly I would have endorsed the guy. So it's not far-fetched to see how Pastor Anderson could have these misgivings, have, you know, issues with Tyler, but still be, you know, wanting to send him out, still thinking he was a good guy. I was in the same boat. I bought a plane ticket. I was deceived. You know, even as Jesus Christ is dipping the sop and saying, like, the guy that dips with me is the betrayer, and they still didn't understand. It was like, I just didn't understand. I just couldn't see it. And in hindsight, it really connected the dots. And to see him to have no character, no integrity, to just go out, just get ordained in like 6 months after getting fired, and then just decide to go still plant a church, and, you know, just shows that this guy doesn't care for the things of God. He doesn't really want to see people saved. He doesn't care. He's not valiant for the truth. He's just valiant for himself. And I don't even like the name of that church. You know, the Bible talks about the Lord being valiant. You know, and there's nothing valiant about what they've done. Going in secret, hiding, you know, spreading heresy, deceiving people, lying to people. They're not valiant for the truth. They're just valiant for their wicked, rank heresy. And they're just workers of deceit. So I hope, you know, in this video that maybe you can see how someone could have some misgivings and still be deceived, I guess, as it were. But I just hope that nobody ever goes to his church. I hope his church fails. I hope the people that are with him wise up and understand if this guy can backstab Pastor Anderson and can lie and deceive him and throw Rick under the bus every time he gets a chance, he'll probably throw you under the bus again, Rick. So maybe you should just leave while you still have your family intact, because I don't want to stand around a guy that sits here and just calls Pastor Anderson a liar and rails on the man of God who's clearly doing the work of the Lord, who's clearly getting people saved, who clearly has God's hand on him right now. And I would be really fearful to even walk in that guy's church, that God might just strike me dead. So I hope you all have a good day, and God bless you.